And the first thing I must do on behalf of the Council is acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, their elders past and present. It is next appropriate that we panel members should introduce ourselves so that you know who we are. I am David Lloyd. I'm a lawyer. I'm a QC. I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court, and I'm a former acting judge of the Supreme Court. I'm currently an adjunct professor of law at Western Sydney University, and I chair three other local planning panels. Ms. Morrell.
Thank you, Jan Morrell. I am a town planner. For the last 6 years I've been retired, but my only role has been to be a chair of these independent panels or be an expert member. Prior to that, I was a commissioner with the Land and Environment Court for...
Ian Stapleton, I'm a architect of about 40 years' experience with a speciality in heritage. I have some qualifications in planning law. I'm a member of several panels in the Greater Sydney area.
Kath Roach, Sync Solutions, my company. I work with a lot of councils across New South Wales and have for the past 11 years. Preceding that, I was with Housing New South Wales and looked after their Governance Regulation Division. And prior to that, I was the Ombudsman at Sutherland Shire Council for 5 years and many years ago in the Australian Federal Police. My role on this panel is as a community representative.
The next item is declarations of interest, and there are none. So we can move to the first of the items for consideration. This is the proposed development at 109 Birch Grove. I can advise that the panel inspected this site and the site of every other development earlier in the day and is familiar with what is proposed. We have noticed that there are two people who wish to speak on this matter. Is Emily Walker here? Not here? All right. Is Mr. Panetta here? Mr. Panetta, would you like to come forward? Pull up a chair in front of the microphone. All right. You are...
I am the architect and applicant for the proposal. So I've come just to... We're pretty happy with the recommendation. We just had one quick question with regards to condition 12D, which increases the rear setback by 1.2 metres for dwelling number one. We were just trying to get an understanding of what the reasoning for that was, because it really impacts the living space of that dwelling. We comply with it with building footprint, and was just getting an understanding of what that was for. So that was the only question for us. Otherwise, we're happy with the recommendation.
Well, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You've applied for a strata subdivision. Why a strata subdivision? Why not a Torrens Title subdivision?
That's what was recommended by our planner, to be honest.
I mean, where is the common property in this? You've just got a dividing line, yep, dividing the property into two. There's no common property here, is there?
No, there's not.
So it's not a strata subdivision, is it?
Well, if it was one title, one block of land, no, there's no common property except the party wall.
The party wall?
Yeah, that's it. But that would be...
But why do you want a strata subdivision instead of a Torrens Title subdivision?
Council officer.
I honestly don't have the answer for that. Our planner at Gatton Associates, when we applied for the application, we had a meeting with them, and the recommendation was to go with a strata subdivision. Our preference would be Torrens would be a much better subdivision from the client's point of view. I honestly don't have the answer for that. Does that affect the assessment? Like, is there a reasoning?
That's the only question I have. I think okay. Mr. Stapleton might have a question,
sure,
or two.
Your eastern building, the one that's all new.
Yes.
has a French door and an entry door. I was concerned that the neither of those doors have an operable high light or fan light, so the cross ventilation through that dwelling would be poor because the doors are tended to be closed for security.
Yes.
So would you be happy with us a condition about providing operable highlights in those doors?
Yeah, we'd be happy with that.
Also, the veranda beam, that veranda on that dwelling is very narrow, and the veranda beam some 3 metres up from the paving. If you look on section, I think it's the last one.
Yep.
It's sheet DA15.
Yes.
You see your top section there, very narrow veranda, high veranda beam. I would have thought that would create a reasonably ugly effect. Would you be happy to provide a valance under the beam just to bring down the apparent height of the veranda? Yeah. Thank you. You asked a question earlier about the rear setback of the western dwelling. The reason is given in the council officer report to create a more usable deck and room for landscaping. That's the reason.
Sorry, I thought it was still going. Our request would be if that could be of a lesser setback, because the internal living space is only 8 metres, you know, for a kitchen and living dining space. If we drop that back another 1.2, we're just concerned about that internal living space. You know, considering that a minimum private open space is 3 metres based on the DCP requirements, I just think that, you know, in terms of, there you go, kitchen, living, dining is only 7.69 square metres. If we reduce that even less, I'm concerned that that space may become unusable. So I guess our request is it possible to delete that condition?
One of the things we are concerned about is there's a need in our view for a schedule of finishes and elements that are to be retained to the front facade of the existing building.
Yep.
We don't have that. It's not clear to us just what is to be retained and what isn't.
On the front facade?
Yes.
There's no change to the front facade of the existing dwelling? We're not proposing any changes at all.
Just as a supplementary question to that, would you be okay to submit a schedule of finishes and elements to be retained to confirm what you in fact you're keeping and what you weren't?
Yeah, that's perfectly
fine. Because it just says retain,
yeah.
And
yeah, okay.
That's
I think yeah, I think the idea for us was not change anything at all.
Yes, I understand the objective,
yeah.
But
so we can provide
it's a bit
additional
loose.
Information.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Thank you for waiting. I apologise for talking amongst ourselves because this is the way the New South Wales government wants us to perform. So we have to have those little off mic conversations now and again. The Chairman has asked me to sum up on this item. This is a proposal make substantial alterations to the existing fabric on the site and then make a strata subdivision and construct effectively two dwellings on the site, the east and the west, as we've discussed. The eastern one would be largely new, and the western one would incorporate a part of the existing building at the front. The panel were basically in agreement with the proposal. It inspected views from some properties behind and found the proposal satisfactory from that point of view. As indicated in my questions earlier, we were a bit concerned about the architectural treatment and ventilation of the eastern dwelling, and I'll come back to that in a minute. Council officers recommended a reduction at the back of the western unit, which, Mr. Panetta, was your problem, and we've just decided in our off-mic conversation to split the difference there. We were also concerned that the amount of the fabric to be retained at the front was properly described, and hence my earlier question whether you'd be agreeable to submit a schedule of elements and finishes to be retained, so there was more certainty in that. The panel has decided to approve the application subject to some modifications and alterations of the conditions. On the matter of the rear setback of the western building, we've decided to split the difference, so to change that condition from, I think, 1.5 to 1.2 to 750. Yes. Are we going to see anything on the screen? So that's condition.
Yeah, so condition 12D.
12D to be adjusted to be 750 instead of 1.2. Yes, I'll get on to that. Because of our desire to get a schedule of elements and finishes to be retained on the western building, we're going to make a deferred commencement approval in this case, which can be, we think, easily addressed. You need to prepare the schedule and submit it to council in order to for the application to progress. On the matter of the elevational treatment of the eastern building, we're just going to insert appropriate conditions about the operable fan lights and the valance. Have you got draft? Are you going to put up draft conditions?
The decision of the panel is to grant a deferred commencement consent. Where are we? All right. One, two, here it is. One and two, correct? There.
So the deferred commencement consent will include the provision of a schedule of finishes and elements to the front section of the western building that are to be retained is to be submitted to council. for approval. Could we have that one? Item one of the part A. The end of item one. At the end of item one, insert for approval.
And then condition, I think you've got it there, condition 12D, little d. Little d.
It's just auto correcting.
Be amended to reference 750 in lieu of 1.2 metres. All right, so that is the determination of the panel. Thank you, Mr. Panetta. We can now move straight on to item number two. This is the development at 15 Mort Street, Balmain. This has only been referred to the panel because of a site coverage variation which the panel is prepared to adopt. So there are no speakers on this matter except Mr. Panetta, and I don't think we need to hear from you on this. The panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. All right. Going back to the first matter, the decision of the panel is unanimous.
I think. Forgot that part.
Yes. And then going to the second matter, again, the decision of the panel is unanimous. Yes, that's got to go in every time.
Yep, so prepared it for everyone?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep. Clause, the, sorry. I'll just get it right. In Mort Street, the decision of the panel, the formal decision of the panel is... No, we've changed it slightly. The variation to clause 4.3A3B, site coverage of Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan, be supported under the provisions of clause 4.6, exceptions to development standards, as the applicant's written request has adequately addressed the matters required to be demonstrated by clause 4.6 of that plan, and the proposed development would be in the public interest because it is consistent with the objectives of that particular standard and objectives for development within the zone. We have to do that. We have to give our reasons for that variation. And otherwise, the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. Again, the decision was unanimous. So we can now move to item number three, which is the development of 102 Hawthorne Parade, Haberfield. Mr. Panetta, can you come forward, please? The panel has a number of issues with this development. And I'll ask Ms. Morell to deal with those.
Thank you. The panel was out there today, and we did speak with the applicant, your client, and there seems to be an expression from her that, in fact, she would prefer to have the red bricks not retained. and whether that be in the fences or in the upper level of the building. And the panel looked at the conservation area and considers that that would be appropriate, that that the red bricks not be the dominant element that we see out there. And as such, we were of a mind to see whether you consider you could come up with an amended plan that would incorporate a number of design changes, including the removal of the, for example, the red brick fence, but there is another complication in that one is on the council land, so therefore you'd require council consent for that, but that nonetheless that could be done in the exercise. And also then the rendering or suitable material and palette for the building itself to satisfy the conservation objectives, which would appear to coincide with what your client is seeking. So we are here to ask whether you think that you could come up with a scheme that satisfies our concerns and also meets your client's objectives. And in terms of the presentation of the dwelling, there needs to be consideration given to the framing around the windows as well, in terms of a timber architrave, but that be replaced. Our heritage planner will explain that to you, or heritage architect, sorry, will explain in more detail what that means. But the first instance, we're just inquiring as to whether if we deferred this matter, would that allow you an opportunity to do amendments that would be more satisfactory for the conservation area and for your client's wishes? Yes, yes. Actually, the front presentation, this is...
I apologise for the delay. Yep. I just wanted to double check that the owner was happy with the deferred commencement, because this DA has been in council for quite a while, and I was just wondering if she wanted a DA approval today. We're definitely happy to go down that approach. The reason we've ended up here was because we've had pre-DA meetings with council and spoken with council's heritage advisors, and essentially we're pushed in this direction with retaining those red bricks. So we would definitely be happy to look at the options of getting rid of those red bricks and making something more appropriate.
Well, it wasn't proposed as a deferred commencement. It was proposed to defer determination of this matter. So it would come back to the panel at another date.
Oh, right.
Okay. With the amended plans. And we could do it in a very timely way in terms of if you could make a commitment
that
to...
That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Well, it would be very difficult to do by deferred commencement, because in the first instance, the red brick wall that's leaning, one that's looks like it's leaning over and the other one that's on the council land, then you need to address those issues as well. So, as to what you would
Sorry,
do.
Sorry, that we're happy with that, yes.
So it would allow for the matter to be deferred to allow rendering of the upper level, and you'd have to provide a materials, finishes and colours board, because it's a conservation area. And also then the around the windows, rather than the architrave that's proposed, that there be some rose-rinded band. Is that what you were indicating?
The drawing elevations aren't clear, but I was suggesting you use a raised rendered margin or raised rendered architrave and reveals around each window as you've drawn, but not as you've noted, would be a better treatment, in conjunction with replacing the windows, aluminium windows, with timber windows, painted timber windows. It seems to be would be a better approach and more clear.
Yes.
The other matters, it's not clear on the elevation whether the proposed new external wall for the carport, is that proposed to be rendered brick So that would need to be clarified.
Oh, yes. Yes,
sorry.
It
doesn't say what the finish is.
Yep.
You could bear in mind also that the panel has concern about adding to the fence to create a wall that's 2.4 metres high on the outside. We understand that from the inside it isn't that high, but it's not normal for fences, for councils to allow fences to go so high on the boundary.
And we suggest landscaping behind, which would provide for the necessary privacy that you may want, and that way it could be a picket fence or whatever is appropriate to the conservation area. And that was
that point, yes?
That the fence will be... The revised proposal will have to include some sort of retaining wall there, because the wall present is a retaining wall, so some of it will have to be masonry, some of it picket, and perhaps provision for a hedge or something behind it to achieve the privacy you want.
Okay, that's for that, for the rear component, but for the rest of the, down the side of the house, just a picket fence, obviously.
Yes, the panel would think a picket fence for the remainder of the boundary, where it's not a retaining wall, would be appropriate.
Yep.
Even with these changes, rendering the red brick and putting architraves, rendered architraves on the windows and putting a picket fence in front, the architectural architecture will be still fairly bland and blocky, but it will be better than what you've got. So anything else you can think of to improve the architectural quality of the two street facades would be appreciated.
Yeah, and your feeling is render is the right material, though?
Well, it's better than having half render, half red brick.
Okay.
But it does involve additional maintenance. Of course, once you render it, you'll have to keep painting it over the years.
Look, our preference is for that.
And painting of a textured brick is not appropriate anyway, so rendering, if you're happy to do that, would be good.
Definitely.
And as Mr. Stapleton said, yes, if you can give some real thought to the expression of the two streetscape elevations, which would make it a more attractive building, I think your client would also benefit tremendously as well. So you really do need to give it some additional consideration. So, in fact, the decision of the panel is that the matter be deferred for a revised schedule of materials finishes plus further detail of the proposed window treatment and rendering of the brick, red brick. Oh, sorry, I'll leave that for the next point then. Concern was raised with the height of the proposed fence, which could be addressed by, or the privacy could be achieved by landscaping and a picket fence. Because bearing in mind, it's not people looking into the private open space, it's just being able to be seen and visible, so you could achieve that with landscaping, which would also benefit the dwelling. And then the panel raised concerns with the retention of the existing red brick on the dwelling and front and side fences. And as discussed with the applicant, if we can go down to the last point, and as discussed with the applicant, it would be more appropriate to render this. Full stop. Furthermore, the panel expressed concern about the elevations to both streets. And further consideration needs to be given to the architectural design. Thank you, full stop. And then go back up to the end of the first point.
Including raised, rendered architraves and reveals.
Yes, including raised, rendered architraves and reveals. Is that the only thing we're missing? Yep. AVES. And reveals. Mm-hmm. Yep, full stop. Okay, and then we can go back down to the bottom. And Mr. Panetta, can I ask you what sort of a time frame would you require to submit these amended plans?
We'd like to get it to the next panel meeting if possible. So how we can get it done within the next week. So when does it need to be? Because we can turn around within a week, but it's just
okay.
Working with
amended plans are to be submitted to the council for assessment within 7 days, and the matter is to be referred to the panel in a timely manner. So if it doesn't meet the deadline, then you'll understand, but that's what we're looking at, and long term this is a much better way of going forward. Yes, thank you. And can I ask all those in favour?
Unanimous,
thank you. And we might need to, I might need to read it to clarify the wording, but that's the essence of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Panetta. Can we now move on to item 5? This is the development at 30 Carrington Street, Summer Hill. I'm sorry. Item 4. I omitted item 4. This is the residential flat building at 2 to 4 Morell Street, Ashfield. This was referred to the panel because of the infringement of the floor space ratio control. The Mr. Jason and Mr. Yamin are here. You're the architects for the project. I don't think we need to hear from you. We're happy with this.
Sorry, who were you? Which one of those were you? Okay, you're ready. Yep.
Mr. Jassin, yes. Thank you. All right. We're happy with this proposal and we're prepared to agree to the variation of the floor space ratio control. You comply with all the other controls, so we're happy with it. So we are happy to adopt the recommendation to approve. And the reasons for that recommendation. Okay? Good. All right. Item number 5, 30 Carrington Street. Now, is Crystal Allen here? Would you like to come forward, please? All right, you can press that, and you have 3 minutes.
You've got the DA number and everything, haven't you? Okay, so I don't need to. It's just about their master bedroom that they're going to put on the first floor. It's direct line of sight into my backyard, and I can also see into, it'll be like work both ways. I'll be able to see into their bedroom and they'll be able to see into my backyard. I suggest that they have frosted glass instead of clear glass. That's the only thing I suggest. Otherwise, fine.
That's your only concern,
yep,
I think.
That's
yes,
the only
all
thing.
Right. And we visited your property and we could view the situation.
Sorry?
We visited your property earlier, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Thank you for that. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I press anything? Do I have to press
yes,
that?
Yes, press that again to turn it off. Thank you.
Thank you.
Condition about the front fence. There's
which one is that?
Oh, on that's page 284. 284. That condition
yeah.
goes.
Yeah.
That's the only change.
Okay, otherwise I'll report.
Is someone here representing the applicant? We may not need to hear from you. We'll just consider this for the moment. Do you want to hear from the applicant? No.
I don't think
we need to. No, there's a condition about the privacy.
Perhaps he could explain the provision of the glazing upstairs and what.
Yes, would you come forward, please? Please sit down. Tell us your name and who you are.
My name's James. I'm representing the owners at 30 Carrington Road, where they are part of the architectural practice that submitted the...
All right. What is the treatment to the bedroom window upstairs?
Yes. So obviously it's quite a large glazed window, which is going to clearly have some issues in terms of overlooking, obviously, to the applicant, to the objector as well as other neighbours. We've treated that with a series of horizontal timber louvers on the exterior. We feel that's a more appropriate address to the privacy issue than frosted glass, given that it is the master bedroom to the dwelling, only having obscured glass to that habitable space would probably result in a reduced level of amenity to those occupants. By us proposing the timber louvers, we feel that will be able to mitigate issues with overlooking without reducing significantly the amenity to the owners of 30 Carrington Road, Carrington Street.
So can I just ask you then, are the louvers to be fixed?
We haven't specified it on the drawings.
Mm.
We would
adjustable. Yes.
Assume that they would be adjustable, certainly for solar penetration purposes.
Mm-hmm.
We would be happy to allow them to be fixed in that they always must be present, so they can't be removed and reapplied if the issue is for privacy.
Yes.
But we would certainly would like them to be adjustable to provide...
Adjustable in angle, but they would be fixed in terms of not
location,
being slide.
Yes. Certainly.
Thank you.
As the chairman has said, we did visit the adjacent properties earlier today. The panel was the proposal includes lowering the rear section of the building and the addition of a mezzanine bedroom. The lowering of the rear section of the building allows the ground floor to be adjacent to the external lawn area. It also provides enough head room to comply with the building codes on the ground floor and the first floor attic, as we understand it. The panel has carefully considered the proposed treatment of the gable, i.e. the glazed window that we were talking about earlier, and consider the distance between the window and the adjacent neighbours to be sufficient not to require any further privacy treatment. Apart from the louvering, that the adjustable louvering that's included in the proposal. So I think the panel are unanimous. There is one strange condition, or what appeared to us a strange condition, included about the lowering of the front fence. That appears on page 284 of the recommended conditions. It's condition B1. The panel's decided to delete that condition because it can see no reason why the front fence should be lowered. It's already approximately 1.4 at its height, at its greatest height, so that's satisfactory. So I think we have a unanimous agreement to accept the council officer's report, albeit deleting condition B1.
All right. Well, as has been said, the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report, endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report, subject to that variation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next matters are listed for 4 o'clock, so we'll take a short adjournment. That's wrong.
It's wrong, yeah, yes.
It's got an hour to go.
So it's a bit, I know. Yes, do we always still split it rather than just run it through?
Well,
no. No, it just it really, it's, you know, panels of test screen and trying to guess how long things are going to take based on how many objectors you've got, how many issues, and guessing going really. And
we can go and sort that planning proposal
I can give you a short lecture on the architecture of Ireland.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I'm going to have a cup of tea, a brownie that I know is sitting in there.
Time for tea. Time for tea. Would you like to come forward to the table and take a seat? And for the record, we need your name and who you are.
Certainly. My name is David Jank. I'm the applicant for 244 Marrickville Road, the Marrickville Hotel, as it's known.
Do you dispute or do you contend that any of the proposed conditions should not be imposed?
Yes.
Yes, I thought so. All right, proceed.
Okay. 3 minutes is not a long time to get through this, but I will definitely attempt to do so. My name is David Jank. I've got 9 years combined experience of running my own venues without a single incident involving intoxication or violence. I'm also the coordinator of the Redfern Small Bar Liquor Record. The security conditions on this DA are particularly onerous, I believe, and I think there's been a misunderstanding at the heart of Council's recommendations caused by the naming of the business the Marrickville Hotel. Now, I guess it's not Council's job to determine levels of metaphor or poetic licence or even to have a general sense of humour, but either way, this venue just cannot be considered a pub. The venue is a bar. It's defined specifically by its liquor licence, its service style, price point, ownership and management. And I cannot stress enough the irresponsible inaccuracy of Council's statement in the report that, for all intents and purposes, it's a pub. The trading licence is a hotel licensed general bar, and it is a traditional small bar with a medium capacity. Council has recommended that security be imposed as per police's submission. I trust you've seen my response to this, which raised serious and legitimate questions about the accuracy of police's statements and the supporting statistics, and therefore about the recommendations that the police made in general. I'd like to look at the numbers proposed. We have proposed, as part of a comprehensive plan of management, one guard to be placed at the single point of entry from 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday nights. Council recommended one security guard on each of Friday and Saturday nights from 7 p.m. with an additional from 10. It is incorrectly claimed that this is in line with police's request. Police requested one guard on Friday nights only from 7 p.m. with an additional from 10 p.m. This inconsistency reveals a lack of consideration to security in general. The question is, which do you think will work best? Police's arbitrary allocation of security, council's misguided interpretation of that request, or the operator's considered application of security as part of a comprehensive plan of management? Nevertheless, council have proposed 10 hours of security per night on the weekend for a bar with a single point of entry. This will cost our small business $450 per night. This is the sort of imposition that reduces the presence of floor staff, who are absolutely and unequivocally the best means of achieving RSA, or responsible service of alcohol. It's financially crippling, it's a gross overkill, and it's detrimental to the sort of positive atmospheres that such venues create. This business is to be run as per the strict guidelines of RSA and the plan of management, and it certainly does not require a patrolling security guard. Item 30, Part 2 states, a minimum of 2 licensed security guards must be present patrolling the hotel from 10 p.m. This goes to the heart of the misunderstanding about what the nature of the business is. In a bar, the people who patrol a venue most successfully are the staff. They greet each patron, serve them drinks and food, monitor levels of intoxication, as well as their general behaviour. They report back to management, each other and security when present, and as professional bartenders hold a valid and respected permission in the form of the RSA card to carry out this task. We have proposed a guard on the door from 10 p.m. until after close for the purposes of checking IDs, monitoring patron numbers and intoxication upon entry. Once inside, our professional staff, as has been proven in my other businesses, will do their legal duty to their utmost. A patrolling guard is an embarrassing waste of resources for the sake of placating a misguided interpretation of a flawed police submission. Finally, the conditions listed in Section 9 should be removed as they are all covered within RSA and Plan of Management. They are Section B, liquor sales to cease 15 minutes before close of trade. I don't have time to discuss that, but please ask me afterwards. C, all doors and windows are to remain closed from 9, except to allow patrons to enter and egress, again. And Section E, the licensee will ensure no shots, doubles or RTD beverages, etc. So in closing, I would like to say that Council and the panel have at their disposal better means to ensure proper venue management and harm minimisation, which we are committed to, than broad spectrum conditions based on the fear of rogue operators. Trial periods for trading hours, as well as other elements, are the fair and reasonable application of this concern. Thank you.
I take it, therefore, that you've got no objection to moving the things that are listed in proposed condition 9 across to a plan of management.
No, I won't accept that, for instance, that no shots or doubles, I mean, RTDs are for children, so we wouldn't serve them, but if somebody wishes to have a celebratory single unit of alcohol on their birthday and they have had no signs of intoxication, I really cannot see a reason for that to happen.
All right.
If an adult similarly wants to have a tall double shot drink, we are not in a lockout zone. This is unnecessary and rather strange that even council should be talking about this when this is a licensing matter as well. I'd like E deleted.
Sorry, and otherwise you accept the other.
I believe that B should be deleted. Given the fact that the plan of management, it is the manager's responsibility to take in numerous factors in determining when to cease trade. Now, on a busy night, I want them to cease trade half an hour before trade. If that place is full, they need to take that into consideration. They need to take into consideration the day of the week, the general atmosphere, you know, the level of people's drinking, what has been going on outside. A 15-minute cease of service doesn't solve anything. In fact, if a hospitality staff comes in on a Monday night and they're the only person in the bar after their shift, they come in from a neighbouring restaurant, why should we not be able to serve them until 12 o'clock? If we know we can clear the venue by 12, it's absolutely within our rights to serve them. It may seem like splitting hairs, but I feel very strongly about this. I've had a lot of time in this game and I run a lot of good venues. So for me, that's something. Section C just appears as weird. I certainly don't expect any patrons to enter or egress through the window. There is no mention of windows in the acoustic report. Certainly the front door, yes, but natural ventilation is a very important part of, you know, running a bar, and it's also environmentally unsound to lock the place closed. I think there's no evidence to suggest on Marrickville Road at night that that's a common policy amongst night trading businesses, that they have to have their windows closed. So, I mean, I would just, again, put it down to a trial period, if possible.
Okay. So you accept the trial period. And then the other thing is the condition you went to about security, that is number... I'm just trying to find...
Pardon me, I don't have it in front of me. I've only just referenced.
Okay.
What most concerns me is that there's a rather large discrepancy between what council have recommended based on police's submission, and police's submission is not what council have recommended.
Okay.
And police's submission appears essentially arbitrary to put security on Friday, not Saturday.
So where does... I'm just trying to find the number of security people in the condition.
I'm happy to tell you. It's like 0.35 or something. Or
condition around. 35.
Oh, look, it's a guess, but...
No, okay.
Somewhere in there.
Refer to the trial period. Okay, just also, where does it refer to the trial period?
That's condition 30B. Yes, there it is. Condition 30. C refers to it, to the 30B2.
These are the two licensed security guards, and 30A1 is the one security guard present on 7 p.m. on Friday. So
okay.
You're saying you disagree with being present from Friday and from 7 p.m.
What we put forward was 10 p.m. on both nights.
We put forward it was 10 p.m. on both nights for a single entry point venue, for the purposes of checking IDs, making sure that nobody, intoxicated
person. So can you turn to that condition 30?
Yep.
Have you got it up there?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, right. So what are you seeking to have amended there?
Pardon me, I just need to bring it up on my computer.
A, B, 2.
Which one, sorry?
A2.
Yeah, a minimum
of one security guard must be present on 7 p.m. on Friday, so they last till half an hour after closing is what my understanding you want deleted.
30A1, A in Roman numeral 2.
Yep, I've got it, thank you very much. Yeah, so I've got it here.
That's what you're up to do.
I'm suggesting it is replaced with that which we proposed. So I don't believe there's any reason to have a security guard on at 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday nights. It's completely unnecessary. What we are recommending is that they come on at 10 o'clock on both of those nights.
Okay, so you want the 7 p.m. change to 10 p.m.
No, can I just say, I'm just going to show you something. 30A2,
yep.
That was deleted and we retain 30B2, which is
okay,
10
yeah,
PM.
Minimum... I don't agree with two licensed security guards being on to patrol.
So you're saying one.
Yeah, but because this implies a patrolling security guard in a small bar environment, it's pretty scary to think about.
So you're recommending
one licensed security guard present patrolling, but at the door from 10 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's in 30A2. You're changing 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Correct.
And you're omitting 30B2.
No, sorry.
No,
we're deleting. I would like to see 30 A2 deleted.
Yep.
And 30B2
changed to 1.
Changed to 1, correct.
Right. Okay. Right. So I just need to clarify something in terms of the hours of operation, and then a continuation of the extended hours. So where is the trial period mentioned, though?
That seems to be 30B1. That's for a period of not more than 12 months. And that leads to Part C, which is an annual, in the first instance, an annual application to re-establish those hours.
Right, okay. Now, the consent should relate to a trial period. The beginning of the consent, we should say a trial period, because it's... Okay.
It does give approval for it to operate up until 10 p.m.
Yep.
hours of the trial period.
Yeah, but the extended hours are for the trial period. Okay. Yes, okay. Thank you. And also, we'd just like you to comment on moving to condition 11.
Yep.
We've considered that this would perhaps be more appropriate in the plan of management.
Regarding any... that is in the plan of management.
Condition 11 to be put into the plan of management as opposed to as a condition of consent.
Yeah, well, it is in there, so... Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Look, that's actually a... that's actually a standard clause in the liquor licence.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a licensing...
Yeah, I know. Please. So, and then if we go to...
Strike 13, it out.
If we go to 13, once again, they seem to be appropriate for the plan of management, which I presume is also in the licensing.
Yeah, look, I spoke to the police about this. I'm not really sure if this is something that's been put in licensing generally in Inner West Council. I don't know, like, how do I identify these people and know that I'm not trading in contravention to my DA? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what a mob shooter is, to be honest.
Okay, well, can I just say, what we're suggesting is that these be in the plan of management as opposed to a condition of consent.
Yep.
Okay. Right, okay.
Did you mention 9?
Nine, I mentioned 9 already.
Covered 9.
9, 11, 13, yep. Well, I'm happy for it to be reviewed in the 12... It would be reviewed in the 12-month period.
So we are in 1 or 2?
1, initially, and then we perhaps need to put something in there about... the extended trial period, if it's required, if it's seen that 2 is necessary. And council could amend that after the 12-month period in any event.
Which you can do.
Yes, so we can change it to 1, and then after the 12-month period in terms of the trial hours, then council will review it automatically in any event.
Yes.
Yep. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Were you going to add something in up front about trial period?
But trial period's not for these extended hours, isn't it?
Yeah, the trial period is for these extended hours, yes.
And are we happy to delete 9E?
I'm happy to delete 9E.
And
9B, I'm happy.
And 9C?
No, well, 9... We haven't talked about those yet. Mm. I mean, our concern is with 9C,
yep,
that you'll understand that this area is zoned and will end up having a lot more residential apartments in the street, and that's the purpose of C, because there is, as you know, noise criteria to comply with, and it's because of the future... anticipated future redevelopment of the area in terms of a lot more residential. That's why...
I appreciate that. I guess that the noise criteria that I'm operating off are those that are listed in the acoustic report. To my knowledge, that was that's the recommendation that we should be going off. The future, if there is a change, I mean, obviously